My name is Matt, and I'm a sex and porn addict.
Hey, Matt.
I have 11 months and, I'm sorry, 1 year, 11 months and about 20 days. I'm in my early 50s. I have been married for 18 years. And I have two children, one that's 13 and a half, one that's 16 and a half, two boys, and both, you know, from my marriage to my wife, who actually goes to Essanon. I grew up here in Los Angeles. So, by the way, it's good to be here at our home group here in West LA. Anyway, I grew up here in Los Angeles. I grew up in a suburb of LA out to the east, and in the San Gabriel Valley. My parents are both fairly normal people, I guess, but I know now that my mother was kind of wild when she was a youngster and dating a married man. And then when he didn't want to leave his wife, she split up with him. Anyway, and then my father... my sister was told by my mother that they were not sexually active for years into their marriage, over 10 years, and I used to find little, you know, books of pornography that lying around, as did my brothers and stuff, so I don't know if there was some addiction there. It sure seemed like it. Anyway, you know, I don't, just my story is that when I was about 3 and a half, I was molested by a neighborhood boy who was there to babysit me and others. And I don't know. I just know that it happened one time. And I remember, even though, again, I don't think I was 4 years old yet, that I knew, seemed to know what to do. So I don't know if it happened more than once. I know it happened once. And I remember that was my first resentment. I really hated that guy for a long time. And you know, I didn't at the time want to hurt anybody badly, but I wanted, you know, I wanted to get even with him. I guess maybe I didn't want to hurt him. I didn't know about, you know, wanting to, you know, really, really, really hurt somebody. But that was my story. And other than that, I had a fairly normal childhood. I always had love and encouragement in our home. My father was a L.A. County probation officer. World War II veteran, decorated, and, you know, Battle of the Bulge, the whole nine yards, but he was also a pretty depressed person. Dad was in bed, you know, at like 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night. But again, I got a lot of love and encouragement. I was always, I liked to draw, as did my brothers, and my sister was an academic type person, and, you know, but I have a brother who was a high achiever, and really all my sister as well. But my brother didn't just go out and like enter the Pinewood Derby. He went out and he won it, you know. And then he didn't just go and like get a bicycle and fix it up, you know, in the garage. He built a harpsichord, you know. It's just like, God, why don't you just dial it back just a little bit, you know? Why don't you, you know, take it easy? And, you know, and he did things like, you know, he put up these, like he put up an angel up on the roof, you know, for Christmas. And, you know, he was just, everybody knew my brother was really smart and everything like that. And anyway, and then my other brother was like, you know, an artist. And I remember I won, for the first graders in my school, I won an award for my art. You know, it was about safety and crosswalks and stuff like that. And I always drew around my brother and stuff. And anyway, my life was fairly normal. I was athletic. I played baseball. I played other sports, you know, touch football, tackle football, you know, whatever we were doing at the time. And whatever it seemed to be doing, we did, all the neighborhood kids, we did it all the time, you know, and all that. I remember, because I knew about sex, I remember teaching a neighborhood boy, you know, how to, you know, do those things and stuff. And then later I this other boy, you know, who was a friend of mine, maybe we were maybe 12, 13 years old, didn't know how to masturbate. And of course I was like, I'll show you. And then he felt a lot of shame afterward, and I helped him work through the feelings of the shame, you know, because I'd been through that. And you know, later, we would get drunk, and then later we would actually, you know, experiment with sex with each other. And I didn't really like that. I always desired a girl, a woman. And I was having girlfriends from time to time and doing little things and stuff, but never, you know, and when I was, you know, a senior in high school, I ended up, you know, going all the way with a kind of a wild girl, really, really sexy girl too. And I remember bragging about it almost right away, you know. But by this time I was already using drugs. I was already smoking marijuana a lot. And I developed a real problem with that, and I ultimately, dropped out of high school. My sister, I have a twin sister, and as I like to say, she went to we on the SAT tests, the PSAT, which is the practice exams, we scored the same. And my twin sister went into UCLA, and by that time I went into a recovery house for AA. Rather, my 12-step, in the beverage program and other substances, narcotics and stuff. So I got that all cleaned up, and then again, the sexuality and stuff is always ever present when you're a teenager, and I was 18 at that point. And you know, there were I knew after a while, you know, that there's some kind of like, you know, wild girls in the meetings and stuff. And but I, you know, when you're that age, you're sexually active. I had learned, you know, that I could dance when I was drunk. I guess I could dance all the time, but I like to do it. So I went to these dances and stuff, and you know, got, you know, running around and all that. And my sex addiction hadn't really taken on any great proportions at that time, although whenever I had a girlfriend, it was very much about sex. It was really like mostly about sex. She really just helped me masturbate was often what was going on. We were, you know, if we didn't have sex, it's because we were tired, you know, that kind of thing. And but again, I liked that, and I all that. So I usually had relationships, and then we would break up. And a couple of times, I hurt others, and they hurt me, whatever. But so I ended up getting married. There was a, you know, a really, really, really pretty girl I really liked, and it turned out that she also was molested. She was molested by her father, as were her two other sisters, and she actually was a prostitute. How's that? I took it down. Anyway, so she was a prostitute, and then she ended up getting sober in the program where we met, and she no longer practiced that. But you know, that's the kind of person I was. Maybe that's the kind of person I attracted, I don't know. But we really loved each other. We were married, and then you know, my addiction took on larger proportions, and she didn't want to stay with a guy like, you know, she used to have. You know, back in the day, you know, I mean, she knew the kind of guy that cheated on her, on their wife, you know, and she wanted no part of it. So we split up, and I was really okay with that. I went back to college and finished this time, and I took on other, you know, girlfriends and all that stuff. But I always wanted to when I acted out with a prostitute. My whole community found out. It happened to be my AA community, and it was really personally devastating. And again, but there's this honesty, like, hey, that's what happened. It's the truth, you know. So I had to look at it, and I really would go on for years, as I said. That's a long time ago, and I still I've only got just about 2 years now. I met the lady that I'm currently that I'm married to now, and you know, I was doing things trying to get better, and she was as well. She goes, look, you know, I've never not had sex with somebody before I got married. I'd like to try that. Are you willing? And of course, and I really liked her. I really loved was becoming to love her, and you know, we were engaged, and so we did that as best we could, but we. fiddled around a little bit. You know, I wouldn't call it, you know, in here we wouldn't call it pure, you know, non-sexual behavior. But, you know, we were trying and we were searching things out. And I told her about my past and it scared her a lot. But, you know, we liked each other. We wanted to have a family. We have had a family, as I said, you know. And so I was thinking back over my history because I wrote about it. And there was never a time for more than a couple of years when I was truly faithful to my wife. I was always indulging with prostitutes. And then I would have this one ex-girlfriend would seek me out. And you know, I didn't want to say no. So I didn't say no. And then I just kind of went crazy with all the, you know, with the internet sites and, you know, being away from home, working up in another state. You know, and being gone and so on. And my wife found out, she put it together with, you know, long story short, with text messages and phone calls and things, and confronted me. And of course I lied. And then my brother-in-law stepped in and, you know, told, you know, her sister that I had divulged to him that I was cheating on her. And that he felt really uncomfortable about it. And then he had to basically sort of out me. And he wasn't nervous about, you know, physical harm or fist fights or anything like that. But he didn't want to do that. And yet he had to, and he did. And I never have held it against him, you know. I mean, why would I, you know? So that I went to another S program. And I came in and out, and I had a year at a time. I had 2 years. And then having had an AA sponsor, by this time I'd been sober 30 years in AA. And my AA sponsor fired me flatly. He just said, I don't know what to do with you, and I think you're going to get drunk. And really, probably, he just didn't know what to do with this part of an addiction he did not suffer from. So that led to another time of divulging it to my wife and being, you know, she said, you know, this time I think we're actually done. I don't know where you're going to go. I don't know where you could go, but you can live here. Just don't think about touching me. Don't think about being sexually active with me. I'm probably going to divorce you. And we didn't. Things got better for a while. And again, I had a better stretch of time. I got a better job and so on, and things got better. But she was really, really, you know, devastated by that. You know, that was after that tsunami in, I don't know if it was in Japan or where it was, but she just compared that. She used to like to talk about that tsunami being like what happened to our marriage. And what can you say? But, you know, the lines your sponsor tells you to say, which are, honey, you know, you're right. I screwed up. I'll do everything I can to try to make it right. And, you know, kind of throw up your hands. And so we did. And, you know, our kids were smaller, obviously, at that point. And so, you know, things went on and I relapsed again. And I think I can't remember the chronology. All I know is it's been 2000, you know, it's just 2016, so it was 2014 when I ultimately stopped. We have given talks like this where my wife and I have shared at meetings. All I can say is this problem has been with me my whole life. I no longer am mad at that boy, because he was a boy as well, you know, but I realized that I knew about sex way too early in life, you know, that I was, you know, and I always wanted to be moral. I always wanted to be somebody who wasn't a liar and a cheater. And when it came to this, I just was seemingly, you know, unable. And the truth is I have been unable. So I come here and I go to meetings. I go to probably, you know, right now I go to at least 2 meetings a week. I have a sponsor. And I have lots of friends that, you know, that we just rally around each other. And it seems like when I come here and I talk about what's going on, then I receive the power from God to be able to stay clean. But it's not been easy. In fact, I was talking to my sponsor today, I think, or maybe it was yesterday. I can't remember. But I talked about how I keep waiting for the obsession to go away and stay away, like it has with my AA sobriety, and it hasn't yet. It's not that it's there all the time, it's just there. And I have to get used to the fact that the temptations are going to be around, and I can do things like what we talk about, which is a zero tolerance for lust, where it's like my right to look at a woman, to look at her and think about it and just kind of look her over and sort of suck it in. And he's telling me, that I have to have a zero tolerance for that, that that's the kindling that starts the fire. And so I'm learning and practicing to do that. I don't always practice it really well, but so anyway, that's pretty much my story. My wife is fairly happy. We talk about the future and we talk about being together. So I don't know why it seemed to take me as long as it has, but it has. So anyway, I want to thank you guys all for listening.
Thanks, Matt.